from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Royte.
To all of you, it is the G and Ursula Show. Ursula's not here today. Don't worry, she's hanging out in sunny Vegas. But you know what? It's sunny here too. And joining us, filling in for Ursula, is my former co-host from Cairo Nights, Mr. Aaron Mason. Brother Mace!
What's up, G? You can call me Mr. Blue Skies today. I'm feeling good. I love this song.
Yeah. You just want to get everybody happy today. Brother Chef, how you doing today, man?
Oh, I'm fantastic.
Yeah, we're going to be having a good time, good time. Hey, it's Friday.
Yeah.
It's Father's Day weekend.
Come on.
The weather's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And we have an opportunity to, we're all in studio. I came in studio just for you.
Oh, just for me?
Just for you.
Just for me.
All right. Too much talking. Let's get to it. Ursula's top five news stories of the day brought to you by Economy Fence Center.
It is a fresh Friday and a beautiful Friday here in the Pacific Northwest. And for federal workers, it is also a day off. Yesterday, President Biden signed a bill making tomorrow, Juneteenth, a federal holiday. And I think a lot of federal workers were surprised to be notified shortly thereafter that they have today off from work. So here in the Puget Sound region, federal courts, VAs will be closed. Post offices, they will still be open. Apparently, the post office did not receive enough notice to shut down mail facilities for today. Gee, have you ever seen the federal government move so fast on anything?
No, not at all. And the more I start to really think about this Juneteenth being a federal holiday, the more I'm not having that giddy feeling inside.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, Mace, I gave you guys the example of the equivalent of going in to your boss's office and your boss is saying, you know what? You've been doing such a great job. Here's a 10-cent raise.
Right.
And then your boss says, are you happy? I'm like, well, yeah. I
mean, yeah, yeah.
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 But now I'm at my desk and I'm working.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going through life, and I'm thinking about that 10-cent raise.
Yeah.
I was happy about it, but the more I think about that 10-cent raise, and the more I realize how fast my bosses came to say, hey, here's that 10-cent raise, the more I'm sitting back stewing.
Doing the math.
Doing the math.
80 cents a day?
On the things that really aren't happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just simplify it with this. When this country can't even come together fast enough on anti-lynching laws, they can't even come together on that.
Right.
They can't come together on a voting rights bill. They can't come together on universal health care.
Yeah.
They can't come together on, they can come together on vaccines being free, but not insulin shots.
Right.
The federal minimum wage is still $7.25, and there's somebody probably saying right now, gee, you're complaining. It is hard to know that this day is going to probably most likely come down to 25% off mattresses.
You know, yeah. Yeah, man. Honestly, you know what it's like? It's like when it's Christmas morning. And you're with some family or something, and you get a gift, like, you know, your uncle gives you this gift and you open it up and it's not really what you wanted, but you love your uncle and you're like, I appreciate the sentiment. I'm never going to wear this ugly, ugly shirt that you just got me, but I appreciate it. I value you. But there's that but. You're not like super psyched or excited about it. And then with this Juneteenth thing, like today, a bunch of federal workers having off. First of all, when has a federal holiday ever been observed on a Friday? Shouldn't it be Monday? That's what happens. If a federal holiday happens on a weekend, you observe it on Monday. You get Monday off.
Right, right.
So this just like whiplash federal workers have from getting emails yesterday being like, you're probably going to be off tomorrow.
Yeah.
What? I don't know what that's about. And then, I saw this tweet. There was a lawyer who said that now that courts are closed today.
Yeah.
I have my all of my clients, all of whom are black men, are going to be in jail longer waiting for their court appearance.
Just like fantastic point. But can we keep it a buck? Because I'll keep it a buck. I saw this and I was immediately bothered. And I was, to be honest, I was really just bothered because I don't have the day off. Is there a little bit of sour grapes in this?
No, I'm having a good time. I'm glad to be here, friend.
All right. You know maybe I mean? It's just me.
And I am happy. You know, we're just trying to point out that it's not like this rosy, sunshiny kind of thing. That it's more complicated than just this. That lip service sounds good, and I'm glad it's being said. But you got to back it up, or it doesn't mean anything.
And you're also trying to point out just how fast. That there can be an agreement on one thing so fast. Oh, Juneteenth? Absolutely.
Right.
Let's do it.
Right.
And let's make it a holiday. And then the worst part of my day yesterday, let me tell you what really threw me through the roof. I'm talking about, guys, this has forced me to be mad at breakfast this morning. You guys have heard of Lift Every Voice and Sing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lift Every,
sing. So, mm-hmm.
A lot of times in the black community, that's saying a lot. You know what I mean? Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi and a group of people decided to sing that song. Yes, it did.
No.
Yes, it did yesterday. I am so sick and tired of Nancy Pelosi. So sick and tired of Nancy Pelosi. I don't know why people think that just because you're on this side of politics, you think you can just do anything you want to.
Yeah.
It reminds me when Hillary Clinton, you know what I'm about to say. You remember when Hillary said, I carry hot sauce in my purse?
Oh, yeah.
Like.
I forgot about that.
Guys. I don't care what side of politics you're on.
Yep.
Some of y'all are so tone deaf. Nancy, stop it.
Yeah.
All right. I don't want to go off the topic here. Who we got?
All right. Jury duty summons will more than double this year in King County. The backlog of criminal cases in the courts is at an all-time high, over 6,000 waiting to be resolved. And it is so bad, the court has been considering opening new courtrooms and bringing judges out of retirement to oversee those cases. Of course, you need a lot of jurors to do so. So here are the numbers. King County expects to send over 425,000 summons this year, more than double the 188,000 that were sent out in 2019. Guys, have either of you ever been called for jury duty?
No. And I said no for the first time in my life without knocking on wood. Here's why. Because I'm ready to do it.
Yeah?
I'm ready to... That's my
civic duty.
My civic duty to do so.
Uh-huh.
And Chef kind of gave us a good point earlier. The reason why we probably haven't been called, because we've been moving all around.
Yeah.
We ain't been stationary at one place.
No.
You know what I mean? Ain't had
Bob
a real...
And weaving.
Like, not only are you moving, you ain't got no real job or nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they really only call on people that's been living at the same location, registered to vote,
mm-hmm.
and you got the same job.
Right.
You only keep it a job and switch the jobs every 2 years. You know what I mean?
Who keeps the same job for like 10 years at this point? I don't know too many people. Everybody's moving and it's just getting faster and faster.
I just wanted a job.
I know. Honestly, tell me about it.
Aaron, how about you? There are pretty good odds. I couldn't figure out the exact number of registered voters in King County, but there's about 2.25 million people that live in the county.
Mm-hmm.
And with 425 jury summons going out, that would be like 20% of the people in the county that would get a summons. Of course, a lot of that population, though, not registered voters. Your chances are high. Your reaction if you get that summons?
I mean, I'll go. I got no problem with it. I'm going to cross my fingers and hope I don't get caught in some sort of like month-long, two-month-long situation, you know. But for me, it's a little bit of novelty. I'll be completely honest with you guys. Like, it's something I haven't done before. So I'd like to go see the process, check it out. It would give me a better understanding of the day-to-day workings of our judicial system. Yeah. I'd be interested in who the other jurors are, how these things are handled. I'd be very interested in that. Now, if it keeps happening, I'd probably get upset at the $5 a day or whatever it is.
All right. Many members of the military... veterans and their families will now have their own vaccine lottery in our state. Here is why. People who received their vaccine shots through the VA or through the military were not part of the database that the lottery winners were being pulled from. $100,000, that is the grand prize the first 2 weeks. $250,000, the final week. Governor Inslee announced that yesterday.
These are some of our most treasured Washingtonians, and I'm glad to be able to provide this incentive program for them.
We now have this separate lottery for members of the military. There were some questions being brought up about, hey, should the prize be the same? Were they just an oversight or an afterthought? What does this story tell you and speak to you about?
Oftentimes, we don't get past the hashtags, the slogans, or the ribbons. You know, the ribbons. Support our troops.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
The hashtag, support our troops. The slogans, support our troops. And, Chef, what it comes down to is we have a problem in this country of deep down inside not really getting past the support our troops, and we don't really. Do you know how many veterans are on the streets that are homeless these days?
The lip service
It's a lip service things again. Oh. So if you guys want to really start talking, this is a microcosm. This is another example of the military almost being an afterthought in this situation. They weren't allowed to do it in this because we didn't have access to them. So let's go ahead and give them their lottery. And put a little bow on it. That's what this is telling me.
I wonder what the people in charge are like. I wonder how many A students there are in charge of things.
Ooh.
Because an A student knows what it means to put in the work, to show the work, you know, to do it well, to buckle down, is disciplined, is thorough.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems to me like there are so many people running things who got the gig for whatever reason, never really sweat it out, and just think that, well, doing this thing will be enough. Saying this will be enough. Right. I don't really have to do all the work.
Are you saying that sometimes that instead of necessarily how smart you are, it might be just some of the people that's just got the most money that get in these positions?
Now, I don't mean to blow the door open on this, G, but yes, exactly.
All right. Speaking of Governor Inslee, he announced yesterday also that he is not ready to extend the eviction moratorium past June 30th. So 12 days. We basically have 12 days until those red notices start getting tacked up on thousands of doors across the Puget Sound and the state. This week, Kirkland and Bellevue extended their moratoriums until September 30th. Kent, Burien, Bellevue are considering the same. Aaron Mason, should this be extended? We have 12 days until a massive debt crunch comes down on thousands of people here in Washington State.
Yeah, look, I don't want to. I'm not generally a fan of kicking the ball down the road, and delaying. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, things should be dealt with, but we're not ready. I don't think there's anything in place. Is this a complicated issue? Do I feel for both sides? Do I feel for tenants and landlords? Yeah, I do. I don't care so much about these big development companies, these multi-billion-dollar landlords, but there are people out there who invested their, you know, retirement and their whole life savings into buying a building and are great landlords. The apartment building I live in, that's one of those situations. I love my landlords. They're really sweet people. But this is a problem that we haven't seen in our lifetimes. This is a unique and very precarious situation, and we are not ready to handle the fallout from this situation. So I think we need to get something together, and it ain't going to happen in 12 days.
End it now.
Really?
Y'all going to be mad at me. It's okay. Send your hate mail to 98973. End it. June 30th. The eviction moratorium's over. There was no plan in the first place when they decided to do this other than delay it as long as possible, but rent still due. Mm-hmm. There's really no relief, like, necessarily. It's like, hey, you can't get kicked out. You can't get kicked out. You can't get kicked out. Meanwhile, your landlord is like, at some point, we're going to have to get that rent or you're not going to be able to live here anymore. And we're delaying the inevitable.
But
and go ahead.
Isn't that the risk of investing? There's no sure thing, right? And people bet everything they have on owning a building and having tenants. Like, I mean, sorry. Them's the breaks.
I know. And so I seem as if I am not empathetic to those in these situations.
But we've been knowing that there is a pandemic going on. We know that these are going to be hard times, not delaying anything anymore. This is the equivalent to me, and this is probably a poor analogy, and I apologize for it if it comes off as being that way. But it's like I'm going to start that diet on Monday, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, start it now.
Right.
Start it now. It's time to get busy living or get busy dying. Shawshank Redemption.
Love it.
Right? Like, let's go. That's one of those things. So I apologize if I do seem callous and heartless. I'm sorry. We got to get moving, and I'm ready to end the eviction moratorium June 30th.
We are set for an absolutely glorious weekend here in the Puget Sound region. Clear blue skies, temperatures in the 80s expected for Father's Day. Break out the barbecues, set up those slip and slides. Woo. Get ready, y'all. It's going to be beautiful. But speaking of Father's Day, G, you mentioned afterthoughts earlier. It struck me. Have we mentioned Father's Day once this week?
No. No. It is the only holiday during the year in which there is not massive awareness to it. How can I prove that point? I'll prove it by you listening right now. Did you say this week, oh man, that's right, this weekend is Father's Day? That doesn't happen on Mother's Day because there's all kind of commercials and Heather Bosch comes in and she talks about Mother's Day.
You got plans, and, you're booking and, the B&B.
And Shane Company and all the restaurants and everything like that. We're an afterthought. As a matter of fact, can we move Father's Day to April, man?
Right.
Because the kids in May, they make all the teachers make them make stuff for the moms.
Yeah, that's
kids
true.
Are out of school in June, fam.
Dude, you don't even get, you're talking about advertising. You get the Mother's Day advertising, all that. Father's Day, there's advertising, but guess what? You only get half because it's dads and grads. It's never just Father's Day. It's always dads and grads. So you don't even get a whole piece of the pie. Which, by the way, I hate that phrase. If I get an email and I see dads and grads on it, just delete.
Zion graduates today.
Right?
Zion's graduation is today. And Father's Day on Sunday.
Right.
Who's the highlight?
Right.
Who's the highlight?
Who's the star of that weekend?
Who's the star of the weekend? You know what? Get out. Oh, you're graduating? Get out.
Your own eviction moratorium's up on your son.
Happy Friday, everybody. If you're wondering, yes, I'm in a hype mood. It's Friday. The sun's beautiful. And plus, you're listening. Coming up next, why the pandemic is fueling a rise in violence. Heather Bosch joins us next to explain that. It's G and Ursula with Mace. Even if you don't agree with the G and Ursula show, you know you love hanging out with us, especially on Fresh Fridays. Happy Fresh Fridays to all of you. I've been saying it's going to be a hot summer for a minute, Brother Mace.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean the weather. In nearly every major city in America, gun violence is at a record high. Mm-hmm. There were 10 gun-related homicides in King County in May alone. Our very own Heather Bosch has been looking into this, and there's a reason that in this moment we're wired for conflict.
Clinical psychologist Dr. Kira Mosseth notes COVID-19 was first discovered in the U.S. in early 2020, and it's still with us. She says people are exhausted mentally and physically.
Because we're exhausted, and because people's limbic system, which is the emotional center of the brain that's responsible for sort of that regulation, we are dysregulated. And as a result of that, it's easier for people to act more impulsively.
This comes at a time when there's been a marked decrease in depression and anxiety linked to the pandemic, and COVID restrictions are being lifted. People are ready to have a little fun. In fact, our brains are wired for it.
There's a pleasure center or reward center neurochemically in the brain that is responsible for releasing and processing dopamine. And dopamine is that neurotransmitter that people crave because it makes us feel really good.
And an exhausted brain that wants to feel good is not necessarily a good combination.
Because we're not as regulated, we aren't as able to say, yeah, you know, I don't think that makes a whole lot of sense, or maybe not right now, or maybe that's a little too risky and I don't want to potentially hurt myself or someone else.
Let's throw another wrinkle into this. We are entering the summer months.
There tends to be more aggression during the summer months when the temperature increases. There's a relationship between temperature and violence as well. and people are out and about and doing more things, coming into contact with other people. So risks just generally can tend to go up in the summer months in that way.
So what do we do? First, try to get some quality sleep. If putting aside the TV and cell phone and crawling into bed sooner isn't helping, talk to your doctor. Second, take a breath.
Try and take a little bit more time before you respond or before you make a decision about something.
In other words, give your whole brain time to weigh in on the decision. And third, turn your attention to other things that give you that so-called natural high.
There's lots of activities that people can do that also activate dopamine and serotonin, which is another helpful neurotransmitter that make you feel really good without being unsafe.
Heather Bosch, Kyber Radio News.
And Heather Bosch joins us right now. Heather, your thoughts on what you just reported.
Well, we're all wired. We all have a bunch of dysregulated brains, pleasure-seeking brains, and you throw summer into the mix, and this could be everything from just making bad decisions, like gambling, racing, drinking. We could see that all the way to, as you mentioned, G, could be gun violence. Yeah. And we've seen a spike in violence.
Yeah, I can tell you from my experience, I'm not generally like a hothead. That's just not how I'm wired naturally.
Right.
But after this year, and now starting to go out and be around more and more people, I found my responses to being around, physically around more people are way different than they were a year and a half ago.
Well, look at the problems the airlines have been having. People physically fighting over masks. You got to think, okay, I understand getting upset, but things seem to be at a whole new level. And this really explains part of it. We're just not making very good decisions. We're exhausted. We've been under stress for so long, and now we're finally getting out, and it's sunny out. The old saying in the old newsrooms is the sun comes out, the guns come out, because in the summer, we tend to see that escalate anyway. So throw the pandemic in there, and wow.
I know you are one that does the news, so you don't really come on here with an opinion all the time, but now I want to turn this to you.
Mm-hmm.
How about you in your personal life? Do you feel like when you're out and about, do you have a little bit more anxiety? Is there kind of a difference when you're out? Or are things the same pre-pandemic as it are right now?
Yeah, I think everybody has that little bit of level of anxiety just because we've been through so much. I mean, just walking down the street, I'm sure you've done it. Should I wear my mask? Should I take it off? I've had my vaccine. Who's had their vaccine? There's stuff that we think, honestly, all of us think about that we didn't think about 2 years ago. I mean, shortages of toilet paper, who knew?
Right,
wear
right,
your mask,
right.
Nobody cared, right?
Uh-huh.
Right. Heather, thank you.
Always.
Awesome reporting.
Take
really
care.
Appreciate you. Mace, do you find yourself a little, like you said, a little more anxiety?
Man.
A little bit?
Definitely on edge. And there's something to be said, too, about having just been, like, by myself. I mean, I live with my girlfriend, but basically by myself for a year, you know, and just doing what I want to do, getting into to what I want to do. And then now being in a different situation, having to go out and maybe consider other people more than I'm used to the last year, you know, you know. And so I can understand why people, if they get challenged on something, get a little more upset about it because they're more used to doing things the way they wanted to or without having to consider somebody else. That makes sense?
Right. Here's what I personally observe on a daily basis, and this is the truth. If you get away from the news, right, and by the way, you can't deny
that's got to be a factor in this.
Yo, it's a big factor.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of times we stop focusing what's going on in our own community.
Right.
Like, stay away from, well, this many things happened in New York or in Baltimore, and there was a problem in Texas, and this. No. What happened in your neighborhood?
Yeah.
Like, you probably had a great exchange with your neighbor. You probably had a phenomenal exchange with your community member in that grocery store. And what I observe, me personally, people are nicer now. Than ever before. People speak more. And like I said, I'm not telling you guys what you experienced.
Right.
I'm telling you what I experienced.
Right. But you're somebody who goes out and talks to your neighbor. Like, you remember that conversation finally because you had it. I think there are a lot of folks that don't do that anymore. You know, that spend their time on the internet, just like soaking in all of these stories about things that are happening. And you know how you feel after you've been in the news for a couple minutes, couple good. Hours, mm-hmm. whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You know how that makes you feel, and it's not good. Yeah. We're not built to handle all that stuff.
No, we're not. No,
I mean, Heather talked a lot about brain chemistry. That's just too much for us to take in. We cannot be responsible or outraged or you get that little release, that dopamine, sure, that sure. stuff, anger, it gets you going. You got to channel that into something else. It's like drug addiction.
Hey.
Successful people who successfully kick intense drug addictions almost always replace that with something else. You know what I mean? They mm-hmm. get into martial arts. They get into to some kind of art. They have some way to handle that, to replace that. And I think we need to try some of that stuff.
Yeah, too. I absolutely believe that. Again, I challenge you. I challenge you to go in your neighborhood, and I guarantee you, in your community, in your immediate neighborhood, when you go to that grocery store, I bet you your exchange with people is positive.
Try kindness.
Man.
It goes a long way, dude. It's a mm-hmm. powerful thing.
Mm-hmm. People are always so nice in the grocery store. That's because everybody's hungry.
Yeah.
Hey, coming up next, I'm going to tell you how someone is making and depending on a lot of cash by selling Black Lives Matter t-shirts and Impeach 45 t-shirts. I'll tell you who that is next. It's Gene Ursula with Mace. It is the Gene Ursula Show. Mace fills in for Ursula. Coming up at 10:06, we have an amazing hour of radio set for you. Dre's is going to join us in studio to talk about an amazing event that is happening this weekend. Plus, we need to ask him a few things about Father's Day as well. But Dre's uh-huh. comes in studio. Now, just so you guys know, this is the first time that I've ever done radio with Dre's in no. studio together.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
We've never done that.
He's the best.
All right. So I already got texts. Somebody says, gee, why are you bringing up a story of someone selling Black Lives Matter t-shirt and Impeach 45 t-shirts for them to make money? And I said, well, because I purposely held out who's the person that's selling it.
That's right.
So here's what happened. This certain person and his group, they've been scrambling financially.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is because they were ejected by mainstream social media sites, and they were also dumped by credit card companies and internet payment systems.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been having a very hard time in some of the things that they would do.
Can't run that credit card if there's no company to do it.
Absolutely. Proud Boys leader.
Ho!
Proud Boys leader Enrique Tarrio is so desperate for cash right now that he's been selling Black Lives Matter t-shirts and Impeach 45 t-shirts. And so an FBI informant was the one that was able to figure this out.
No, he was one. Tarrio,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't. What is this guy? What is he doing? Is this a troll? It's got to be, right?
So the reason why I'm bringing this story up is I want to say that there are so many people in this country that are just in it for the money.
Yes.
They're in it for the grift.
Yep.
They're in it to give you these ideas to help you divide us. And now here making money off of t-shirts
yeah.
that are the opposite of what you think. That's the thing. I don't even know what you think. I don't want to go too far on this, but I got a message yesterday from someone and they said, gee, one of the best things that I like about listening to the show is sometimes I never know where you're going to go on a topic.
Mm-hmm.
I never know what opinion you're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
You always kind of, like sometimes you just never know.
Yeah, being your co-host for a while, I feel that way too. Yeah.
But isn't that life?
Yes.
Like the only, like that's life. Like you can be with your significant other and your significant other says, hey, let's watch this Housewives show. And your significant other says, I'm going upstairs. I ain't watching that. Like,
We don't all think the same.
Yeah.
Unless it's politics and it helps others make a lot of money to just stay on one side. And I call that gang mentality.
Dude, I call it grifting. I call it cashing in. I call it disingenuous. I call it I don't understand a person who would believe so strong. This dude was the leader of the Proud Boys. And now he's trying to cash in on something that he ideologically is the antithesis of. He's the exact opposite. So what kind of a person is that? Not that I respected this guy in the first place. I did not. But somehow that bar got even lower when he's just trying to cash in on it. Would I sell shirts with a swastika on it? Like, absolutely not. Because I couldn't live with myself if I did something like that. If he feels so strongly in this one direction, and now he doesn't care about cashing in on the opposite idea, well, if I was a Proud Boy member or follower or whatever, I'd be furious with this guy. I thought you stood for something. I thought this was an ideological issue, and now you're saying you'll completely reverse that to cash in on something?
100% right. You know what strikes me about this story? Mm. There's been a lot of hand-wringing about deplatforming and cancel culture, etc. My takeaway, deplatforming works.
It works.
It works.
It works.
When was the last time you heard the name Milo Yiannopoulos?
Right.
He was booted from all the social media platforms, you know, years ago. How fast has President Trump faded into complete irrelevance in this country without Twitter?
Yeah. Yeah.
How are groups like this able to capitalize on hatred without social media?
That goes to show the responsibility that these platforms have in our national discourse, in the health of our world, of our society. They love to stand back and go like, no, we're just Facebook does this all the time. We're just a platform. We're just a place where people can say what they want. We're not supporting any. No, you are. By not doing anything, you are doing something.
Yeah. One of the things that bothers me most is when people assume I'm a Democrat and they assume I'm a liberal.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because I'm black? Wow. Coming up next, Dre's. He's going to join us in studio to talk about this amazing event. Tune in next. It's G and Ursula with Mace.